want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We're going to spend the next half hour with you here today talking about the Word of God. We're talking about the importance of love and the way that love manifests itself in many areas of our life. And so we're going to be in John 14. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 29. And then after we finish 14, we're moving right into chapter 15. So that gives you an idea of where we are going to be. So I want to say thank you today to the folks of Chitts Concrete, 321-536-5804. You know, here's what I've noticed over the past couple of weeks. It's hot. And it's also been pretty wet around our place. And so if you have a concrete job that you are needing done, I want to let you know something. You don't want to be trying to learn how to do that by yourself this time of year. That is not a winning idea from Ford, to quote a commercial from many decades ago. A better choice would be to contact professionals who know what they're doing, who have decades of experience, and they have a great work ethic that can get in, get the job prepped, get it done, get it installed, get it finished, and then get out of the way. And that's the folks at Jits Concrete. They do that day in and day out. They are very, very good at what they do. They know how to adjust for the conditions, the weather conditions that might be out there. And so they know how long they've got to work with the material, how to set up and arrange the delivery of the concrete, what type of concrete, where to get the concrete, all of that sort of stuff. And if you've got something coming up, Jits Concrete may be the resource you're looking for. 321-536-5804. Get you in touch with Greg. And, you know, maybe you can set up a time. They can come out, they can give you an estimate, and then not only an estimate of dollars, but an estimated timeline, and then you can plan accordingly. So thank you for being a friend of the Refresh Radio program, Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. So today we're going to return to John chapter 14. We were here quite a bit last week. And so verse number 29 says this is Jesus speaking. "And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here." And so we've been the foundation, one of the pillars of the foundation of our relationship with God is God's love for us and our love for God. There's also holiness. There's the purpose of God. There's a lot of different foundational elements that are supposed to be in place in the life of a believer that leads to a successful relationship with God and successful relationships with other people. It's not a one or an other. It is all of those things combined. And here Jesus tells the disciples that the reason he's communicating the things with them that he is speaking with them about is so that they may believe. Love the love of God encourages actions that result in belief, not doubt. And so everything that Jesus did was to give the people that he was doing the miracles in the midst of, that it was encouraging them to believe, but it was also setting us up for belief. Believing in Jesus Christ is one of the key motivators that the Gospel of John was written. And there's plenty of evidence. There are people who say, well, if I just had a little bit more, if I just had a little bit more, then I would believe. And the scripture makes it clear, no, if you don't believe with what you have already experienced and already seen, you won't believe. Even if someone were to be raised from the dead, you would not believe. And so I want you to ask yourself, as you are going through life, are you living a life of love that causes others to believe in you, believe in your actions, believe in your motivations, or do those actions create doubt? Because love, everything that you do is to reinforce the belief system that they have, that you are a person of your word, that you're going to do what you said you were going to do. And one of the statements that the Bible makes is, a faithful man, who can find? It's not just talking about males there. It's talking about people. But faithfulness is a rare commodity. Truthfulness, love causes people to speak the truth so that you will have belief that when they say something, unless something radically happens, you're gonna fulfill what you say. And so all of those two things are very, very important as we live a life of love. And so if you say you're going to be someplace and then without notice, without information, you just don't show up, that creates doubt, and that creates confusion. And there's all sorts of things that go on that are not healthy, not good. And those things are being played out in mass in our society right now. There are a lot of things on social media. One trend is that people are constantly making posts about their disappointment in the behavior of someone else, and it left them confused, whether it was they got up and they just left and didn't say they were leaving, or any. By the way, I will tell you that sort of behavior is identified in the Bible as deception. There are people who would say that they value truth about the words that come out of their mouth, but many times they do not exhibit truth and integrity in their relationships. And what I mean by that is, there's a person that is expecting them to be there at a certain place and time to do a function, and then the person just abandons ship, leaves, doesn't communicate, and the Bible identifies that as an act of deception. So there are deceptive words, there are deceptive motives that are called manipulation, and then there's deceptive actions. And so I want to encourage you that we're not supposed to conduct ourselves in such a way that people are left traumatized or injured because of the things that we've done, or the things we said we were going to do and then we didn't do, said that we were not going to do things and then turned around and did them. So there's that. And then there's the other side of the coin as far as the post, where people celebrate faithfulness. I believe that Christians should be some of the most confidence building individuals in this world, that when people see a Christian, they're going to say, they're going to be faithful. They said they were going to do this and they did it. They said they were going to be here and they were. Now, again, there are things that happen beyond our control. And so if you live on Merritt Island and happen to travel north of the barge canal, you know at times that barge canal bridge, it's a drawbridge, it can sometimes be stuck in the closed position. In other words, you can't get there. You can't get across. Well, that's one of only two ways to get to North Merritt Island via a vehicle. And if that bridge is closed, then you've got a long journey up through Titusville and back down again. And so, there can be things. You could get stuck in a traffic jam due to an accident or something like that. There are extenuating circumstances that can kick in, but it ought to be our normal behavior that people say, look, they said they were going to be here and they were here. So love encourages actions that result in belief and trust, not doubt. So the second thing that I want to talk about here, Jesus says in verse number 30, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of the world is coming and he has nothing in me. Now, I'm very thankful there is no sin in Jesus. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they do not have the spiritual deficiencies that we have. They are spiritually perfect. They do not have the intellectual deficiencies that humans have. They are omniscient. They know everything. Their perspective is perfect. They do not have the behavioral limitations that we have. They always act in holiness, in faithfulness, in love, and in truth. So, unlike the idols of other ancient civilizations, which were basically just glorified individuals with the same human frailties, only they were ascribed supernatural powers, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are absolutely perfect. They are perfectly holy, perfectly true, perfectly just, and they do not have the sin problem or the deficiencies that we have. So if your theology is of such that you think that God is mistaken or that God owes you an apology or any, I actually heard a clip about that where, you know, someone said, you know, that, you know, they had forgiven God. Well, God hasn't done anything that needs forgiveness for. God has not wronged you and he has not wronged me. So please do not buy into that demonic theology, because that theology comes right out of the pits of hell from a person who does have serious sin issues and wants to impugn the character of God. God is absolutely perfect. And so what Jesus says here is that Satan is coming, the ruler of this world, he's coming, but he does not have anything in me. For us, what that means is because we love God and because we love those around us, we want to make sure that we do our very best to eliminate ungodliness out of our lives as much as possible. Okay? Now, we are never going to be perfect until our mortal puts on immortality and our corruptible puts on incorruptibility. We're never going to be perfect. But we can be in the process of being perfected. And that means that we stay in communication with the Holy Spirit and we stay in the Word of God. And when we find an area of our life that is out of alignment with the Word of God, or the Holy Spirit puts his finger on something, it may not be sin. It just may not be fruitful. It may not be beneficial. It may not be productive. It may not be the will of God. And so whenever God puts his finger on something, we say, okay, we want that out of our life. So I had a youth minister decades ago, and he introduced me to a game on the computer called Spider Solitaire. And you have to understand my personality, and that is I want to try and conquer things. I don't give up easily. I tell people I have the gift of stubborn, but I try to have the gift of stubborn for the things of God, not against the things of God. And so whenever I start trying to tackle a project, I generally don't give up until I have conquered it. Well, for me, that became something that I could not afford to have in my life. Too much work, too many projects, and it was taking up too much time. And so what I did was, because I wanted God more than I wanted to win at Spider Solitaire, I eliminated that from my computer, so that not only did I not participate in it, instead the temptation was gone, and so I didn't have to deal with that anymore. So I put those things out there for you because all of us have different things that the enemy will try and use. And he will try and get a foothold into our lives. But once he has access, he has a desire to increase the area, the time, the finances, the resources. He tries to increase all of those things to where there's not as much left for God as there should be. And, you know, that's just something rather generic. But there are plenty of other areas. Pride is a horrific problem in our modern society. And it can show up in a lot of different areas. Naaman had a leprosy problem. And there was no cure for leprosy. It was a sociological disaster in Israel, but, you know, Naaman was still able to be a military commander in his country, and he had had a victorious military campaign and had carried off a little girl as a prisoner of war who happened to be from Israel, and when she saw how much suffering Naaman was going through, she said, oh, that my master was in Israel, because the God that I serve would be able to heal you of a disease that no one's ever been able to be healed of. That led to a conversation between Naaman and his king, which led Naaman to, and a letter from that king to be sent to the king of Israel, who immediately freaked out and panicked and thought, oh, this guy's just trying to create a problem. And Elisha said, don't panic, send him to me. And instead of going out and having a conversation with Naaman, there was a messenger that was sent out and said, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times and your leprosy will be healed. And Naaman was insulted. He was insulted at the quality of the Jordan River. He said, the rivers where I come from are better than this river. He was insulted because he had some expectations. He said, I thought for sure he would come out, he would do this, and all of a sudden the leprosy would be removed. And so he starts going off in a rage, and his servant said, if he had told you to do something outstanding, wouldn't you have done it? And fortunately for Naaman, he humbled himself. He came prepared to pay for a miracle. And Elisha said, I don't need your money. And by the way, this country was being a thorn in Israel's side at that point in time. And God was showing kindness to this guy that we still talk about thousands of years later. He almost did not get his miracle because of his pride. But he humbled himself and he went to the Jordan and he dipped 1 time and still leprous, 2 times still leprous, 3. After he dipped the 7th time, he came up clean and he was a transformed, humbled individual. I know people that I have made this statement, and it wasn't anything, you know, monumental or anything like that, but I said their pride will be their downfall. The Bible says God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So there can be I've had a glass of water and a cup of coffee this morning, so hopefully my mouth will kick in. There can be a wide array of different things that the enemy will try and sow into our lives to where he has something to lay claim on. And he really doesn't care. It could be intellectual. It could be financial. Greed is a very prevalent issue. Intellectual arrogance. Refusing to grow, refusing to change. All of those things can be horrible problems. If the enemy can have an anchor in our life, then he will lay claim to that area of our life. And I will tell you, sin always has negative consequences. You want as much of heaven deposited inside of you as you can possibly get, and you want as little of hell surviving in your life as you can possibly get. Immorality will not benefit your life, it will be destructive. I see a lot of people in society that are trying to eliminate the consequences and the ramifications of ungodly behavior while continuing to embrace ungodly behavior, and that is not a winning recipe, if you will. Jesus, the thing that made Jesus there, I mean, the fact of who he was made his death special, but he was also sinless. And so when he died, he was able to claim the keys of death, hell, and the grave because he was absolutely perfect. You know, Jesus was tempted. He was tempted in every way like we are. My belief is that when he was tempted with all of the kingdoms of this world, he said, you know, I've seen what exists beyond this world. And the kingdom of heaven is far superior to all these other kingdoms. And there was no temptation. That was not a successful temptation because of the reality of heaven that Jesus had already experienced. That when the devil tempted him and said, hey, turn this stone into bread, he said, you don't understand. He would later explain, I am the manna from heaven. I am the bread from heaven. I know that God was able to rain down bread and feed millions of people for 40 years in the wilderness. I don't need to turn a stone. I don't need to tempt him. I don't need to throw myself off of a stone. And I certainly will not bow and worship a created being because I know that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are in unity and accord, and there's only one that's being worshiped, and that is God. And you're not him. I tell my congregation, you know, I am so thankful that I am not God, because God is better at being God than I am. And I would deal with issues in an entirely different way than he does. I also say this, I'm also thankful you're not God, because we are imperfect, our perceptions are flawed, we are vulnerable because of our sin nature, that even though we crucified it, it keeps wanting to try and come down off of that cross. It wants to live and not die, and God wants us to live a life of love that says, you know what, because I love God, I'm going to eliminate sin and ungodliness from my life. Because I love my family, I'm going to eliminate as much ungodliness out of my life as I can. I want to embrace God. God bless you. You have a great Monday. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.